WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Ivan Raiklin Report with retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Green Beret, Ivan Raiklin. Ivan served 25 years in the Department of Defense, Intel, and Special Operations communities as an enlisted officer, civilian contractor on active duty, reserves, and National Guard across 5 states. Most recently, he was an instructor at the Joint Military Intelligence Training Center, teaching the U.S. intelligence intel community and international partners about intelligence analysis, national security, and multinational operations. He is currently a constitutional attorney. And now, here is your host, Ivan Raiklin.
Well, 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 America. I'm not in the home studio today. Raiklin Report is mobile once again, but stationary at the same time. I am located, for those of you that actually have been watching, M5 Newsgate. And what is this place called? The Lion's Den? I'm here at the Patriot, location. This is the epicenter of knowledge as it applies to the citizens' knowledge of an investigation of the government's role in January 6th. One of the stars of this abode, which you can see on the video screen in the background, is none other than our illustrious Patriot, fellow bald man, Thomas the Tatum.
Hello, Tommy, everyone.
Welcome to the Raiklin Report.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be here.
Again, you've been on here before, right?
I've been on before.
Yeah, so on the Raiklin Report here, I think I was a couple of, maybe a month or so ago, I was out here.
Yeah, you were.
Anyhow, just wanted to kind of let people know what's going on. We can't talk about that one thing. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
Remember?
But I just found out.
Yeah.
Oh, that other
thing. Oh, the other thing. Stay tuned tomorrow for the Raiklin Report because you're not going to want to miss it. There's going to be some earth-shattering updates. I'll just leave it at that. But in the meantime, what do you got? Any updates?
I got some stuff I can't talk about that's very, very exciting. I can't talk about yet. But I just found out that one of the one of the witnesses that just got called in the Proud Boy trial is a FBI CI. He's tried to infiltrate Freedom Corner.
Tell the audience what Freedom Corner is.
So we do nightly vigil for the D6ers here outside the D.C. Gulag, outside the D.C. jail. We call the D.C. Gulag with Ashley Babbitt's mother, David from Freedom Express Media, Nicole Reffitt, who's her husband's the first January 6er, Gary McBride comes with us, and a whole bunch of other patriots and live streamers from around the area. Can we turn that off?
I thought that was right next to Patriot Corner.
That is. That's the cops when they attacked a live streamer, knocked the camera out of his face, and got off. This is some stuff on my YouTube channel. You can see some random things happening but you get more stuff on Rumble at Tommy Tatum News.
Yeah, I like Rumble way better than I don't even know what you said.
Yeah.
Commie Tube? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with Commie Tube.
Well, you know,
we don't use Commie
Tube. This is a psychological war operation, so we have to take the enemy's weapons and use them against them sometimes. It's what an intel officer once told me.
Oh, really? Okay. So, the other place that we can really spar, which you do a magnificent job of, is on a place called Critter 2.0.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Where Elon Musk allows a little bit more.
You're talking about
I mean, not full free speech, but he allows a little bit more.
I still see people get banned for weird reasons and things.
But yeah, because, I mean, you still have a massive staff that you haven't purged yet.
Yes.
Which definitely is
going to happen. Talking about Twitter, I'd really like to see Elon Musk release all those Twitter videos that their staff deleted in real time on January 6th that Larry Logan talks about.
Yeah, that'd be nice to see.
Yeah.
And then hopefully he can, you know, once he gets Twitter, the revenue stream on Twitter going, maybe he can buy up Facebook.
Well, buy them all.
CommieTube. And then maybe we can convert those over to more free speech platforms.
Because it would be awesome. You know, it's not fair that the government subsidizes these people, gives them a Section 230 thing for 20 years. They build their empire, then they start with their Marxism, shutting everybody else out. Like, no, you didn't build it on your own. The government allowed you to have this with special carve-outs. Now you've crossed the line, so we're going to take it back and sell it to a free one.
All right, let me transition a little bit real quick. I wanted to give an update on some of the things that I've been working on that I think a lot of people want to hear about, obviously our involvement with Congress. So before I go into that, though, is that our role here is to do a complete body check on the executive branch. And one of those elements of the executive branch that is totally lawless because we got the CCP captured resident right over at the White House, mm-hmm. is the Department of Homeland Security. So late last night, as I was starting my evening nap, if you will, I do have to take a nap every once in a while.
Yeah, when you're running 7 miles a day.
And so I put out there a tweet, and I don't know if Mr. Producer can pull up the tweet. It happened to be retweeted by some consequential accounts. General Flynn retweeted it. Carrie Lake did a comment with retweet of the account, of the tweet. And that tweet, I want to actually run through it here and tell you kind of what it's about, because it's very important. It is one of my encounters with the lawless executive branch DHS, particularly the Transportation Security Administration, and I tagged the relevant members of the House and the relevant committees in the House, their Twitter accounts, to let them know and put them on notice that this sort of activity of weaponizing the DHS and the TSA to attempt to intimidate folks like me, you think I get intimidated?
No, not very easily, I wouldn't think.
But most people that were in that would be in that position would be intimidated. Unfortunately, when I travel, those very TSA agents are fearful of me. There have been times where they're looking through my things because they put me on the secondary screening list, the quad S, the secondary screening something, whatever. They're literally shaking, scared to go through my things. Wow. And one time I said, you know, this was when I was traveling to Arizona to testify before the joint session of the elections committees down there the night before. They made me miss my flight, but they almost arrested me. And when the local police from Virginia, the metropolitan area, I think Washington Metro Transit area police or something like that, but they fall under Virginia jurisdiction, came up to me and was like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, I don't really know why this TSA agent is escalating things. All I'm asking for is, like I've done in the past from Reagan National Airport, is as soon as they check my phone and go through their screening procedure to make sure that my phone's been fully harassed. And then once they fully harass and Fourth Amendment rape my hand, mm-hmm. all I request is to put this phone in this hand and record myself. That's all I ask.
I think I saw a recording.
Yeah, and the TSA agent, no, you can't do that. I'm like, okay, well, let's talk to your supervisor and respectfully ask that I just go ahead and do that. You know, we can come to an agreement because that's what I've done always in the past and everywhere I travel. Supervisor tells him no. I'm like, well, that's unfortunate. Why is that the case? Because every time I travel, this was the first time in a while that I've flown from Dulles Airport. And they said, you know what? We're not even going to deal with this. So he calls the watch. What was it? The police officers. And the police officers come out and like, hey, gentlemen, this is what's going on. I mean, I think it's a reasonable request. This is the demeanor that I'm using.
Yeah.
I'm standing with my legs crossed, my hands in a very passive posture, my body in a very passive posture. Mm-hmm. And I ask, what's the issue here? And they said, do you really want to miss your flight? I'm like, I mean, no, but I want to make sure that there's some sort of recording where I have evidence that they are conducting a Fourth Amendment violation of me. I want evidence of it.
Yeah.
And so since you two gentlemen here are here, can you please turn on your body cams? And then we can proceed. That's fine.
Yeah.
And when I said that, now the police officers that are technically going to be arresting me understand that there's no issue here.
Yep.
All I want is transparency, which they're there now to provide. And the TSA agent has egg on his face.
Right.
Unfortunately. And I didn't want to do that.
Well, but sometimes you got to embarrass
sometimes people. I have to assert makes my
you,
rights.
Makes you wonder, why would they not want you to record them doing these things they think is upright
and just? All about full transparency.
Right.
Oh, you can FOIA this, you can FOIA that. Well, I just want it available immediately.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
That's just
a simple request.
Yeah.
Nothing too fancy. Anyway, it forced me to miss my flight, and I had to overnight at the airport. Because I caught the next thing in the morning to then literally walk off the airplane, go to the hearing, walk in a few minutes later, I'm called up by Senator Wendy Rogers is asking if I'm there to testify. I'm like, okay, yeah, barely made it. So
why is there a difference between Reagan and Dulles?
I don't know.
It's just different.
It's just different people.
I got you.
Different, you know, some people want to assert their, you know, rights. Well, guess what?
You want to?
Well, I'm one of them. So anyway, that's the context of what I'm dealing with. And I saw it right. The DHS is expending all of its people and resources on harassing and intimidating Patriot veterans, just retired, who are exposing the CCP Biden criminal syndicate and their disinfo purveyors in D.C., New York, and San Francisco, right? Silicon Valley. And then I attach a video. And you got to take a look at this video, yes, folks. And I think it's pretty compelling. It's basically a mashup of TSA agents going through that Fourth Amendment rape in every nook and cranny of my body. Shirt, t-shirt, everything. Meanwhile, those resources are expended while Mayorkas is letting the whole border wide open.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a very good
unacceptable. So guess what? That's going to result in your impeachment, Mr. Alejandro Mayorkas.
How do you end up on the secondary? Have you ever done anything in your life illegal, Ivan?
Never. It's been it happened the day after I attended the cyber symposium that Mike Lindell hosted in August of 2021.
Okay. There were some shenanigans at that entire event.
So right here. Two indicators lead me to believe of why I'm on this list, and there might be others. One is I'm exposing the Biden criminal syndicate, right?
Yeah.
But the other one is it was the day after the cyber symposium, what came out? The DHS came out with a terrorism threat bulletin. And in that bulletin, it listed three things, remember?
Disinformation. Yeah.
No, if you think that, they call it, if you think you can overturn the election, you're considered a potential domestic terrorist. Translation for me, because of what I do, if I am articulating and educating state legislators of their Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, U.S. constitutional powers and 10th Amendment powers, and I'm educating the 12th Amendment powers that could be triggered along with that, yep, with the federal Congress, I'm a domestic terrorist, potentially.
I've never heard anybody say, this is why Ivan is wrong about that.
Never.
Never once have I heard anybody even attempt to say, this is why he's wrong.
I wish they could. I wish they would.
Yep.
But it never happens so far.
I wish more people could already go through your work, or if there's a video somewhere or whatever. Ivan is... Look, I know it's convoluted and hard for the average layperson.
It was hard for me to put it together. But
right, when he explains it, it's like, oh, it's crystal clear. Absolutely, it was. Oh, you don't even have to talk about the election. You can talk about how it was absolutely unconstitutional.
It was unconstitutional, sir.
Yeah.
So since I'm in that category of, well, guess what? If the right people legally and constitutionally exercise the authority that they have, then guess what? It may result in removing CCP Zhiden. So now they consider me a domestic.
I think this is hilarious. How they say, he's the one who came up with the fake elector scheme.
No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't you?
It wasn't me.
Well, I know they say that about you. And I'm like, well, if you read the Constitution,
I came up with the Pence card.
Yeah, yeah.
Tweet that was retweeted by President Trump.
Yeah.
And in that, it listed what Mike Pence was obligated to do. And he had three options, basically to present options to the states. Not to unilaterally do anything. It was literally, hey, you violated the Constitution.
Let's send it back to the states and just take a second look at these.
Hold a new election according to your election law.
Yeah.
And then transmit your electors accordingly based on the results. Number two, abstain, don't transmit electors. Or number three, hold a new joint session vote. In any way, shape, or form, am I telling Mike Pence he has to unilaterally accept or deny something? No.
No, he's sending it ultimately to the people in one fashion or fashion.
And so, number two was, if you didn't like face toilets, then you're considered a potential domestic terrorist. And then the third category of people would be if you're planning on meeting your friends and family over the Christmas holidays in 2021, you're a potential domestic terrorist.
Really?
And guess what? I fell into all three of those categories.
So now you get the extra scrutiny.
And so now I get the extra fondling and scrutiny.
What's funny about...
And guess what? That only motivated me to escalate my truth production.
Even more. When people talk about how... fake electors thing, like, oh, you couldn't do that. Pence couldn't have done it. He didn't have the authority. I'm like,
they never, they talk about other stuff. They never address my argument.
Nobody ever brings up, I'll be there 1 minute. Nobody ever brings up the fact that in 2022 or 2020, it had to be 2022, they went through the entire, they had a congressional act to change that part of the Constitution that allowed Pence to do the thing that they say he was unconstitutionally allowed to do.
No. They amended the Electoral Count Act because of what I argued that Pence was obligated to do. One of the components of the amendments was to change the Electoral Count Act so that he could then ignore, and his J6 cover-up committee could ignore the tweet and argument that I put out.
Exactly.
My Twitter account is probably going to be permanently suspended forevermore because guess what? All of the stuff that I put on there still rings true.
Yeah.
So by getting reinstated, people are going to be like,
this was right the whole time.
He actually even forced the House and Senate, Congress, all of them, to amend the Electoral Count Act.
I remember when you were in the Judiciary Committee and you asked Adam Schiff if he was the one who got your Twitter account taken off.
Oh, wait. You want to tell me about this?
Because I think this is the initial time that I've even ever talked about this.
I do. Got 3% left. So if the...
I'm going to slip out of here just a second.
If it goes out.
I'm going to try to get you some battery. But yeah, that was a very interesting.
Tell them about this because I'm gonna have to put it out.
I think it was the first Judiciary Committee hearing. It was Marjorie Taylor Greene, and for whatever reason, Schiff was there. So everybody was there, and Ivan goes up to Schiff, and they're having a little conversation. And I'm like, I wonder what's being said right now.
It sounded something like this. Imagine you're Adam Schiff, and I'm Ivan Rake. Hey, Congressman. And he's trying to put his hand out for me to shake his hand. And my hands are like this. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I ain't touching you, scum. But I didn't say that. I got to be respectful in the chambers. So I said, Congressman Schiff, why did you cancel me off of Twitter? Is that you? He said, oh, it wasn't me. I'm like, well, why did your staff or who did you direct to cancel me off of Twitter? Well, when people are being threatened, I'm like, hey, buddy, you must not remember who I am. Raiklin, the Pence card dude. How about that?
What a space.
Why didn't you just rebut anything I said, right? And instead, and then he started saying, there's no threats. Why don't you go back to my Twitter account, reactivate it, read every single tweet, and you're going to see I was right, and that's why you changed the Electoral Count Act. And he's like, oh, I'm done talking to you. Because there was somebody else waiting in line to talk to him. I said, well, I'm not done talking to you. It doesn't work that way. When I'm done speaking with you, then you can go on your merry business and continue to do what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I'm done with you. I'm like, noted. We'll see about that. Good luck.
Yeah, I was witnessing.
We'll have to post it up.
You have to narrate it because the audio is not
great. Yeah, audio is not great, but you caught the gist of it. Yeah. I think you can sense my body language. That,
it was
tense.
I was like, oh, goodness, what's
pretty
happening?
Pretty intense.
Right. That was my first day in a Congressional Judiciary Committee, so we were all amped up anyway, and everybody's there. Oh, God. I'm going to find you some battery for this before it goes.
Please, and I'll continue to talk about this tweet. And in the video, it talks about how, guess what? Mayorkas needs to be impeached. Looks like it's making its rounds. A few people, some names that I want to give a shout-out to. General Flynn, Carrie Lake, Jerome Bell from Virginia Beach. So a couple of substantial accounts. And who I tagged in this were, again, DHS. So the House Committee on Homeland Security, which is chaired by Representative Mark Green, tagged him. Dan Bishop, who's on the Oversight Subcommittee for Homeland Security, he chairs that subcommittee, tagged him. I wonder why. Of course, because he has the jurisdiction to go ahead and bring the heat to these lawless executive branch actors. Then you got a couple other folks, Homeland GOP, Weaponization Committee, Judiciary, Jim Jordan, Oversight, Comer, et cetera, et cetera. And then the, what I call Real Team 6 members, Andy Biggs, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, Eli Crane, Matt Rosendale, and Bob Good. Those are the 6 Real Team 6 members that in the event that Kevin McCarthy steps outside of the coloring lines that we've provided him, guess what happens to him? Motion to vacate the chair. So I think at this point, the Homeland Security Committee, if you want to bring me in to testify and articulate to the country, I'd be happy to do so. You want to call me in and subpoena me? You want to call me in to do a transcribed interview? I'm all for it. I'm game. I'm not too far away from your offices in D.C. Just let me know when. The Democrats want to interview me and question me, by all means. I have nothing to hide, and I'd be happy to educate the Democrats on the committee as well. On them being complicit in violating my constitutional rights and by extension, really,
this is happening not only to me, but many other people that are traveling domestically throughout the United States. Meanwhile, while all the resources are being deployed to go and attempt to intimidate and cajole, coerce. I mean, they deploy sniffing dogs. When I travel through Charlotte, North Carolina, they slow down my travel. They basically are violating my Fourth Amendment. They're also, which is, you know, unnecessary search. Fifth Amendment, because there really was no due process in placing me and scrutinizing me to an extended level. Because guess what? Not only do I have CLEAR, which is the DHS's kind of pre-check program. I have TSA pre-check, global entry. I'm the least threatening traveler because I've already been scrutinized with all of my background. And then what else do we have here? There's a couple of other characteristics that I bring to the table that I've already had many, many additional background checks done on me and still puts me at the lowest risk category of a traveler for probably anybody traveling in the United States. But nonetheless, due to political reasons, I've been placed on this secondary screening list so that they can not only harass and try to intimidate, but also know my whereabouts so they can slow me down from exercising my First Amendment by going and speaking before legislative bodies throughout the country. Whether it's New Hampshire, they slowed me down. Whether it's to Arizona before I testified, luckily I was able to make it in time. I mean, this is the type of activity that the CCP inspired and captured executive branch is implementing. And guess what? As Dan Bishop says, we're putting the deep state on notice. We're coming for you. And to quote Congressman Clay Higgins again, I like to quote him as well, later comes the arrest part. And not to us, those lawless federal actors that are complicit in violating our rights. Guess what? Whether it's this year, next year, or the following year, my list is growing. And you're going to have to face the same scrutiny that you've placed me under. And I suspect you're not going to be able to withstand that level of scrutiny because you have not lived such a pristine lifestyle as myself. And I've done it very meticulously. And that's why 10 investigations later, you have nothing to show for. And so when I'm done with you, 10 investigations later, I suspect you will be facing your freedom demise. And your family is going to suffer because of it, because we're going to expose some transgressions that go into that lawless territory. So there you have it. That's kind of the tweet I wanted to discuss a little bit. That's making the rounds. And the other tweet that I was about to send before I had to start the show, which is pretty consequential, and I wanted to talk about that, is, and I'm going to post this on Telegram as well, so follow me, Ivan Raiklin on Twitter, and Telegram, Ivan Raiklin, Truth Social. We're on all those. Let's see here. Oh, did I lose the tweet? Unfortunately, I may have. That's not good. Anyhow, I'm going to have to redraft it because it's gone. Basically, it's a message to the House Admin Committee, Subcommittee on Oversight, to let them know, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, as well as Congressman from Minnesota, who represents the brutally beaten victim, Victoria White, who was brutally beaten at the hands of Jason Bagshaw, Metropolitan Police Department officer. We got videos, we got body cam footage, we got everything in evidence to showcase how brutally beaten she was in Jason Bagshaw's attempted murder of Victoria White. And that information is going to be going out, and I'm going to tag not only her congressman, who's hopefully going to see this and be compelled to help get the story out, to work with Congressman Barry Loudermilk of the Subcommittee on Oversight in order to provide oversight over the Capitol Police Board and create consequences for, well, I don't know, maybe we'll have to work with the Oversight Committee as well with Jim Comer to create consequences for the lawless activity and police brutality of Jason Bagshaw. So justice will be coming eventually, and hopefully her congressman, coupled with Congressman Barry Loudermilk and her attorney, will see all the evidence out there that patriots in this household and other places have combined about her situation to then showcase the truth, so that she achieves justice for herself. And then this will open up the eyes of many Americans that are still sleeping at the wheel of what actually happened on January 6th and all the lawless activity of these governmental actors as it applies to the peaceful election justice rally attendees that participated in their peaceful assembly on January 6th. So that's the second one that I was hoping to pull up right now and actually send out. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to craft it anew because somebody over there at Elon's Critter 2.0 decided to go in my drafts and remove that tweet, unfortunately. Yep, it's gone. Unless I can find it. So, with that, I got to say one last thing with a few minutes left. Follow me on everything. Raiklin.com, IvanRaiklin.substack.com. Use promo code PATRIOTS when you're buying your sheets, slippers, what else? Pillows, of course. If you want to buy a new bed, make sure you're buying it from Mike Lindell. And make sure you're, as a patriot, with an S at the end, make sure you use that promo code. That's unfortunate. I was going to pull up this tweet. We'll get to it eventually. Anyhow, we're working. We're fighting for the truth. I think tomorrow could be a very consequential day as it relates to the J6 defendant community. I think things may pivot, transition into a much more positive direction, even though Tucker Carlson was basically told to sit down and shut up related to January 6th and the footage. I think that only motivates people to learn more of what happened that day, and folks like Gary McBride with M5 Newsgate, Tommy Tatum, who was just sitting here with me, Dave Summerall of Stop Hate, and others are going to, you want me to do a shameless plug for you too? And then also, David Valentine website, freedomexpressmedia.com. Take a look. These are all patriots that have been slogging through the last 27 months, pretty much 26 months, exposing the truth of January 6th at the tactical level, you know, individually. And then me being here, kind of putting it all in the collective, the strategic frame, I think we're getting closer and closer every day to nailing to the wall your beloved Nancy Pelosi and all of her surrogates that committed the treasonous act of the facilitated unlawful entry into the Capitol to stop any viewing and evidence to be shown of an illegally conducted election, so that they could steal it, so that they could remove President Trump, so that he and his people would not actually expose everything, just like they did with General Flynn in 2017. They had to remove Trump because then he realized what actually happened in 2016 with the spying on him by the DOJ, FBI, and then the subsequent escalatory attempted coups that occurred over the course of the last six, now 7 years. And they're just trying, they're grasping for straws now with this new, this DA in Manhattan. Guess what? You're S. Trump, you're gonna provide us with these, with the precedent to go after y'all. Meaning the Biden criminal family syndicate, we're gonna have county sheriffs, county DAs, attorneys general throughout the country go ahead and take it, open up the book on the Hunter Biden Criminal Syndicate Laptop Report written by Marco Polo USA. Take that coupled with the House Oversight Committee investigations done by Jim Comer. And guess what? All those crimes are going to be prosecuted And then what? Everyone's going to be facing the massive, the most massive consequences ever. So please, Mr. DA in Manhattan, please provide us with the necessary precedent for us to escalate even further in this law offensive war. I'll love it. With that, I think time's up. Raekwon Report complete. Till tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big day. Tune in.